All right, we are live. Welcome to another episode of Roasting Marshmallows. My name is Rolf Suut, and I'm your host. And today, we are talking about fear. We all know the feeling from a terrifying experience at some point in our lives. But studies show that 75% of the people get fearful when having to speak in front of a group of people. Even the very idea of doing that is sometimes enough for people to get very fearful. Most of us, even those at the top, struggle with public speaking anxiety. When people think about what makes them nervous, they usually come up with the same answers. I don't like being in the spotlight. I don't like being watched. I don't like to have all those eyes on me. And some might say that the fear will go away as you do more and more talks, but this is not always true. Our guest today, for example, Thierry Depauw, has done many talks about continuous delivery, agile transformations, trunk-based developments, and so on. However, Thierry has publicly shared about his struggle to start public talks. Thierry is a senior IT engineer at the fintech startup Pax Familia. On the side, he founded Thinking Labs, an advisory firm in the adoption of continuous integration and continuous delivery. He's an occasional speaker at international conferences about everything continuous delivery. Welcome, Thierry. So how are the nerves for this podcast?
Hello, Rolf. Well, obviously, I'm quite nervous for this.
Okay. Well, that's no problem. I think many people share that with you. Arno, are you nervous for the podcast?
Not anymore, actually. I think the first few were a bit on edge, yeah. But now it's like, used to it.
Yeah, and Arno, you share a bit of a public speaking anxiety thing, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So that might be interesting to see. So, Panchi, how are your nerves for today?
Right now, doing pretty good. I'm trying to just observe what's happening, but I've had it in the beginning when we started doing the podcast about a year ago. Every time was like, how is it going to be? What is going to look like? Then at some point we introduced video in the podcasting, so that was just like another level that we had to pay attention to.
We get the top guests.
So then, you know, I've gotten accustomed to it, but every time before the podcast I always be like, oh, okay, what are we talking about? Every talk requires preparation, and I think it helps calm down that nervousness if you do a bit of a good preparation. It's never gone, but it's at least manageable.
Yeah. So Thierry, maybe we should get like the worst experience out of the way, right? So that we can loosen up a little bit. So can you maybe share with us like, you know, the worst experience you ever had doing a public talk? And is that influencing your feelings of anxiety and struggle for public speaking, like negative past experiences? Or
let's say I had two worst experiences. My very first presentation was in my opinion a total failure.
And this was professional, like a professional presentation, or was this like still in the college?
At an agile conference in Belgium.
Okay.
The Agile Tour conference. It was facts and fallacies about continuous delivery. I had something like 100 slides. I couldn't keep the content in my head, so I was literally reading my slides. It was awful. But a learning experience.
Yeah. Did you also get that feedback from the crowd? Like it was.
No, nobody said anything.
So it's your own personal opinion that it was a bad presentation.
Because
people in a crowd.
If you don't get any feedback, it's also feedback, right?
Yeah. Well, a good friend said to me, "Well, you did it. Mission accomplished."
Yeah.
So wow,
that's true.
That's true.
But why did you go? Why did you go on stage in the first place? You just wanted to try it out, or?
Well, I've written that in my article. The main reason is I'm a shy person and an introvert, and from my professional experience, well, I have the impression people look over you. Because you don't talk easily, they don't ask for your opinion, you're not very vocal, and so you're a bit this grey person. And I was a bit fed up of that. Like, look, I do have knowledge, I do have an opinion,
yeah,
and I want to be acknowledged for that.
Yeah.
And then I was at the time also, well, I was coaching a team at big company in the finance industry. And it was a wonderful team with a wonderful manager. And he wanted me to be acknowledged for the things I did. And he wanted that I did presentations in the organization. I didn't want to. But he kept pushing. And then one day I just submitted at two conferences.
Yeah.
So why did he keep pushing?
Off you go.
Why did he keep pushing?
Pardon?
Because he believed.
Because he thought like, yeah, well, you should be appraised for the things that you achieved or that you've done with the team, and others should see that.
Yeah.
So if I want to, I'm trying to understand. So you were in the same time being a coach for a team or multiple teams at a big finance organization.
Yeah, it was really only one team.
But it's still, isn't that also an intimidating place to be in? Or
At the time, I wasn't really feeling that way. So I was used to arrive, discover situations, and then start picking up. So that wasn't really a problem at the time.
So then you do this first talk at the conference, and then in your own experience, it was not a pleasant experience. What you expected of yourself that did not manifest itself on the stage. How much of that has your own personal expectation to do with?
Yeah, well, you see these great speakers that roll out a presentation, and it all feels natural.
Yeah, but
no. In the meantime, I've learned that it's absolutely not natural, and they also struggle.
Yeah, I mean, Martin Fowler also wrote about his struggles.
I can very much relate with what Martin Fowler has written down. It's I have the same. Well, he speaks way more than I do.
Yeah.
I can totally feel what he feels.
But Martin Fowler changed, right? Because he used to have no problems, and now he does have a problem.
Yeah, I can also relate to that. So,
that's interesting.
The past 2 years, I've kind of stopped public speaking because I was a bit exhausted, and I've done also big transformations with many people, and being alone in front of all those people is quite intimidating.
Yep.
And at a certain time, I was like, no, I stop with this. It's asking too much from me.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I'm not a very experienced public speaker myself in terms of like live conferences and stuff. But the last conference I did, we did a remote conference due to the whole COVID-19 pandemic, of course. So do you also, like, how do you feel about that? Like pre-recording your talks, or maybe having it like live on some stream somewhere, like, you know, where it's maybe a bit more comfortable, or maybe even more uncomfortable for some people, because like the interaction with the crowd is different. Like, do you have any experience with that as well?
Well, that's the other reason why I stopped with public speaking, because I dislike the online experience.
Yeah.
So So I've done the pre-recorded thing. It's an awful experience, and it's very stressful because it's very timed, and yeah. nothing may go wrong.
Yeah.
And I prefer the live version. So I've done one pre-recorded, and then all the others were live.
Yeah.
There, you don't care much if it goes wrong. Well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because you can interact with the crowd
happening.
A bit better. Yeah.
But it's really you speaking to the screen.
Yeah.
So you don't have any feedback. Yeah. You don't see heads nodding. You don't see...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's... So it requires a lot of energy, and you don't get the energy back of people coming to you wanting to ask you questions, asking for advice.
Remember,
which is the rewarding thing that
exactly.
happens.
Yeah.
Also, while I can imagine, also while you're talking, the occasional nod of the head is often just enough to kind of indicate that you're on the right track. And like here, you're just like talking to a wall.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I mean, when it's a live or like a stream thing, like people can just log in and log off as they please, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and then you maybe, like if you start with, I don't know, like 40 people following, and then, you know, it's going 32, you know, and because like on a conference, for example, people usually just like they keep their seats and they, you know, they listen to what you have to say, and then they'll just wait for it to be done. But I think, yeah, in an online conference, then it's a lot easier to say, like, yeah, okay, this is not very interesting. Let me just, you know, close the laptop. And then that might be experienced as like, oh, I'm doing a terrible job, you know. So I also agree that the online-only conferences is putting a bit more stress, I think, on the
yeah.
on the person giving the talk as well. But so, Thierry, you did a lot of talks. And it didn't go away because like usually when you practice something, you do it more often and you give the same talk, like, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 times, then, you know, maybe it becomes easier, but you don't have that experience that it becomes easier over time.
No, it doesn't get easier. It's like every time I have my heart ticking, I'm sweating like a pig. Even rehearsing, I'm already sweating. It's
really
really
Well, I don't think that when you're facing stuff like this, I don't think necessarily that it becomes easier, but it probably you become better at it.
I don't know. You have to ask people watching.
But do you also share the same anxiety? Like outside of conference rooms, like, I don't know, when you go to a birthday party or something, and then like you come into a full living room of people that you don't really know. Like, is that also a stressful moment?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So it's public contact in general, I guess. That's
difficult. It's the fear of what people are going to think of me.
Yeah.
What if I don't find my words?
Right.
Which happens often.
Yeah.
Not so far in this podcast, so...
yeah.
But is it... Does it have something to do with maybe low self-esteem? Or... Because that's how it sounds anyways to me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I don't have a high esteem of myself.
Did you ever try to figure out where that came from?
Not really, no.
Well, thinking about speaking openly about this also in our podcast is quite a brave act. So I really want to. I really appreciate you, like, doing it in a way that you're doing it right now.
Thank you.
Because it takes courage to say this also to completely 3 unknown people right now, right? And then it's like, yeah, it's kudos for that. Thing I wanted to ask, to go back a few steps to that. First presentation that you did, you did not experience it as a positive for yourself, immediate positive experience. It was, you said, very intimidating. You were doubting, you didn't say actually that you were doubting yourself, but like I can imagine, I'm assuming that you were doubting if you did a good job. You thought you were reading the slides. What What made you get on the stage again?
Well, I kind of had to because I've submitted to two conferences at the same time. Both
tip for everybody
both
listening.
Accepted
you know?
Me.
One conference at a time.
Both accepted
yes.
me. Obviously, I've submitted two different topics.
Ah, nice. So great. So like you've done the first one. You are like, oh man, this was horrible. This was terrible. Oh, what have I done? Why didn't you stop? Why didn't you quit?
Well, the second one was pretty okay. I've was a limited was only 30 minutes presentation. I've kept the slides very number of slides very limited, so I've learned from my first experience. I knew the script very well, so I was happy with the results.
Ah, yeah. So you took like
so the preparation.
And the process to that was you had the first one, and then you said some friends gave you some feedback, and then did you go through a maybe self-reflection of, okay, what happened, what did I do, and in order to prepare for the next one?
Yeah, kind of. Not a formal self-reflection, but
you don't do a retrospective?
I reflect quite often when I do things. So when I'm biking, I'm reflecting. And these things pops up. So, well, next time I should do this or I should do that.
And did you also have a drive to get better at it? Because, you submitted these talks, so you kind of had to do it. But was there also like this underlying motivation? Is it like, I want to be better at public speaking? Or was it more like, oh, man, I signed up for this. Let me just go ahead and do it. But I really kind of don't want to.
I wouldn't say there was a drive. It was more like, yeah.
Yeah, you set those goals for yourself.
I've committed to this, so this is going to happen.
Yeah.
It's more like from a professional perspective.
Right. Yeah.
So you mentioned something that you actually, at some point you decided that the way you perceive yourself, you were a quiet person, you were not getting the recognition, you were maybe rightfully deserving for the work you were getting. So this was an attempt for you to get more, let's say, vocal and project out more of you. Would you say that after doing all these talks, have the talks achieved, helped you maybe achieve the goals you had wished to achieve for yourself?
Absolutely. Yeah. I received the recognition very often from people I admire. And that is very rewarding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So even though it was...
And I got in touch with many, many interesting people, which is more difficult to get in touch with as a participant.
Right.
So in the end, you faced this fear of yourself, and you uncovered a lot more values than you initially maybe even thought you would.
I would never have. Yeah, I never thought I would achieve the things I've achieved.
Obviously, being a guest on our podcast is one of them.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that is one of them. Exactly. And then there are many more.
Well, yeah, I mean, for sure, we have an episode about stepping out of your comfort zone and you know, how it can bring, you know, personal growth and progress. And I think this is a super clear example, of course, of, you know, choosing to step out of the comfort zone and doing what you're kind of scared of doing. But, you know, I'm glad to hear that it paid off, because indeed, as a speaker on a conference, I guess you get to speak to the other speakers a bit more easy as a participant, like you said.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
So it's you have speakers dinner before the conference where you can socialize.
Yeah.
But what I don't get is that. But what I don't get is that if you step out your comfort zone and you grow as a person, but it also means a little bit it should become your comfort zone a little bit. That's what I don't get. That it doesn't change to being in your comfort zone. Because you mentioned before, like
I can imagine that.
Well,
don't ask me why. It's just. I'm still nervous. It's not that I'm not sleeping, but yeah.
But have you noticed any dip?
I spent.
Sorry, go ahead.
So I spend quite a lot of time rehearsing. My biggest fear is not finding my words during the presentation. That's the reason why I have a very defined script of my presentations, and I'll make sure I have the script in my head.
Yeah, but well, preparation is key to make you also, not just for speaking, like for anything, for doing any work. I mean, I find myself rehearsing, let's say, 10 telephone phone calls before making them, just to make sure that exactly like you're saying, to, okay, what am I about to say? What can I expect the other person to say? Okay, this, okay, then I can go into this, and that like puts you, I guess, builds up your own feeling of, okay, this is going to be okay. One thing I wanted to ask was, you said you're still, let's say, anxious to some extent. Has that in any way changed? Like maybe the level of anxiety, or maybe some of the sensations that you feel in the beginning versus now?
Oh, yeah, well, I have the impression not, though I've recently done, I've surpassed myself. I've recently given at a meetup 2 presentations in a row live.
Mm-hmm.
So I had 2 presentations in my head, and the minute I was going to present, I figured out I wasn't able to have my presenter notes. So I only had slides in front of me. And in normal situations, well, you freak out.
Yep.
I was like, this will work. Now, it might be because it is a meetup, and then you're like, it's
more casual.
It's different.
Yeah.
Which is not fair. But it went super well. It was like one of my best presentations.
Okay.
So less speaker notes, that's the tip.
Or more preparation. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I do want to talk about the preparation a little bit more, because obviously preparing the slides is a big part, and rehearsing. But what other things do you do to prepare in order to mitigate the the pre-conference stress? Like, do you, for example, record yourself while rehearsing, or do you maybe get to the venue like extra early to feel like all the walls and stuff like that? Like, are there any little rituals that you do?
So. I don't record myself because I hate listening to myself and watching myself. It's too confronting.
Right.
So when I prepare a talk, I start with bullet points, because, well, it starts with the proposal. And when I send a proposal, I try to give them an outline, mm-hmm. and somehow a timeline of the presentation while I'm thinking of speaking of these things.
Yep.
And this is already the basis. Starting from that, I start writing down a script, like a narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I create slides. But I put a lot of effort in the narrative because, well, this is the important stuff.
Of course.
And the slides, they evolve. The more I give the presentation, the more the slides evolve. Well, you get better slides when you are at the fifth time that you present, and then the first time.
Yeah. But there are no specific preparations that you do in order to mitigate the anxiety levels a little bit.
Well, I rehearse quite, so it starts 1 week before the actual presentation. So
yeah, okay.
I rehearse each day.
Yeah,
like, and then when I am at the conference at the hotel, the night before I rehearse again.
Yeah.
On the day I go into the room where I will present, and then before the presentation I do some physical exercises. So I jump, I move my arms, so it's just to give myself some how do you say that? I can't find the word.
It's like a stress relief, like a bit of stress goes out if you do physical labor.
Yeah.
And then
I used to start my presentation saying like, yeah, look, I'm an introvert. This is challenging.
Yeah.
Bear with me. And that reassured me. And now I don't dare to say that anymore because done it so many times, people don't believe me.
But if you say maybe like, guys, I've done this presentation so many times and I'm still super anxious about doing this in front of you, so bear with me. I think it's like one of maybe most empowering things you can say in front of an audience. And that's like, would make audience connect even more with you because it's like a very human thing.
Yes, yeah. I agree. Probably I should do that again.
I don't know, because on the other hand, it also feels like you downgrade it a bit.
It feels like you downgrade it or you don't downgrade it?
Yeah, like you downplay yourself just to keep expectations from others low as well.
Well, I mean, like...
That's how it seems.
We already mentioned Marty Fowler, right? If he can can admit to this, like, how do you feel about his admission to feeling anxious for a talk? It's like, now I feel, oh, I really want to hear him more. That's my personal reaction to that.
Right, because it becomes rare now that he's never going to speak again. Now you want to actually
No, it makes him more human. It makes him more relatable to me.
Ah, like that.
It's very authentic.
Yeah. And then during the talk, do you do also stuff to cope with the anxiety? Like, do you, for example, like, try to make eye contact or imagine people sitting in their underwear, or like, is there specific stuff you do
water.
to just keep calm during the talk?
No, I don't do specific things.
Okay.
No, I just.
You just do it.
I walk. Yeah, I walk a lot.
Yeah.
And cameramen don't like that. And up until now, I used to conform to what they want. But now I'm more like, well, sorry, it's going to be my way, because that's how then I feel comfortable. Yeah. And then I have the impression I'm giving that myself.
It's your show in the end, right?
Exactly. But yeah, I always try to be the nice person and likable, but it doesn't play in my favor.
No. Have you ever tried some breathing exercises?
No, not really. I don't do breathing exercises. I've heard that. I had that as an advice, but I don't do it. No.
So,
I try to drink water before and have water with me. Sprinkling water is a very bad idea.
Sounds like a good story.
I've done it once. I've done it once at a meetup and it's a very bad idea.
Okay, why? Because I'm currently drinking sprinkling water right now.
Well, the gases.
Oh.
Yeah, you have to burp. I don't know, man. It sounds like a nice way to break the ice, but yeah.
But that doesn't relate to me. It's not how I want people to.
Yeah, of course.
Remember
okay.
me.
Yeah. So the thing that is a bit challenging for me to to understand is that, you know, when you're doing a conference or a meetup, you know that the people that are going to be there, they choose to be there, right? Like they use, like they see your name, they probably see the, you know, the speaker notes, or not the speaker notes, but like the subject that you're going to be talking about, and they choose to sit down in that chair and spend some time with you listening to what you have to say. So, you know, that is something that I try to keep in mind when we're doing this kind of stuff. Like these people are choosing to be here and they're choosing to listen to me. So they want to hear what I have to say. And for me, that takes away a lot of the anxiety, because it's like, yeah, they want something from me and not the other way around. But that is not something that ever crosses your mind. Like, hey, these people are here for me. So, you know, I can relax.
I found this very interesting. You say that because actually that never crossed my mind.
Oh, interesting.
Well,
and thank you for saying that.
Well, I just thought of an idea to break that, to make it worse.
Yeah.
It's like, now,
hey man, I'm helping this guy. You're ruining it.
I think a little bit that actually makes it worse for me, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because the expectations are going to be higher.
Yes. Well, you don't know them, so there's some sort of business transaction there, and not necessarily a personal one. And I think that makes it worse to think about it like that.
Okay.
For me, would be the fear. For me, would be the fear of disappointing the people. Like, look, these people have chosen.
Yeah.
They could have been like in 10 other talks, and they've chosen to be me. Yeah. Like,
and then you mess it up.
Right? I can mess it up. And like, Thierry, I'm sorry if I'm not helping you at all.
Yeah.
So just like, okay, ignore what I just said. They're like, stick with what Rolf.
No, but the only way you can mess it up is that if your subject and like the description of your talk like totally don't match the talk that you're giving. So I guess like that's the only way how you can mess it up. But like, yeah, so I guess, I don't know, maybe it's just a different way of thinking about it. But yeah, that's at least how I would probably approach it and think about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, Thierry, I was wondering, because like, you know, preparing your talk is one thing, and then having the talk, you know, and you have, of course, all these anxieties. But as the talk progresses, it never goes away. It stays at a high level of anxiety for you, every slide. Or does it subside a bit when you start talking? Like the adrenaline kicks in and it's a bit more.
Well, I guess it goes away when I'm busy. But I have sometimes, I know it crosses sometimes my mind. It's like, oh gosh,
yeah,
still 30 slides to go. Oh, when this slide, oh, this is a hard one. Too many words to say.
Yeah.
Okay, I got over this one. The next two ones are not many things to say. This is going to work.
And then I guess like the day before you've edited your slides, because they would be way better, and then you maybe scared like, oh man, I messed it up, like I switched them around or something. Or the preparation is too good for that.
That doesn't happen
too
many times. No, I'm not the kind of person that changes his slides
before,
like I've heard some speak.
Yeah, man, that happens for sure.
And so
I'm pretty stable.
So you have the anxiety, yeah, right? For the whole.
It's more like.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it's more like cosmetic stuff.
Yeah. So you have the anxiety during the presentation, and what happens if you are at Q&A and a guy asks like a really rough question? Are you still at the anxiety level, or does it actually drops after the presentation?
It completely drops. After the presentation is given, it drops. I'm super comfortable.
Oh, so for the Q&A, it's gone?
And yeah. So I'm okay for the Q&A, and I can have all the questions, and I'm pretty confident.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, because like,
why?
Yeah, because I have like, for me, it's different. The Q&A is a lot more scary to me, because I can remember, sorry, Pancha, but I want to share a quick story about me giving a presentation. I think it was like in the sixth grade or something. It's not really comparable to a conference.
I thought you were going to say Axon, but that's from the sixth grade.
Ah, but
I think that is what laid the fruit for me being not anxious, not being anxious for the presentation, but being a bit more anxious for the Q&A, because like I had a presentation about polar bears, and this guy asked me like, what does a polar bear weigh? And I did not have the answer, man, and it messed me up pretty good. So now every time I do a presentation and the Q&A comes in, I'm just like, oh man, I hope I have the answer. And then I always, the goddamn polar bear question comes back in my head like, yeah, you didn't have the answer back then. So you might not have the answer now. And these people are going to be totally disappointed.
So, yeah, but this is the same thing, right? As before, this is just a business transaction with people. Isn't it similar to giving a presentation? You might disappoint them because you don't live up to the expectations.
So, but like, Rolf, you've had now, well, 30 years of in your life above this whatever seems great. Well, okay, so less than 30 maybe. But how would you answer that question now?
Nowadays, I'd probably just say like, yeah, I did not prepare that. I don't have that information. I would have to look it up.
Well,
300 kilos. Back to you on that just one. Say something. 300 kilos.
Why wouldn't you say?
No, I'm not going to fake it.
Well, you can also ask them a question like, what do you think it weighs?
I don't know, man. That sounds like something you would. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question. Well,
okay, but we can ask maybe Thierry. What? How would you approach yourself a question during a Q&A session that you don't necessarily know the answer to?
Or did it even happen? Did you ever have that?
Yeah, I had that, and I don't mind saying, "Well, look, I don't know. Yeah. You can't know everything." It's a
Yeah, exactly.
Also in my consulting and coaching work, I don't mind saying to them like, "Yeah, sorry, I will have to look that up." Don't know.
Yeah,
but so for me was
first time I have this question.
One thing that I'm observing from this is, okay, you had anxiety about when you're giving a presentation. Let's say you're at a conference, you seem to be having anxiety over the only portion of the interaction over which you have a control of.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe it's like some sort of perfectionism thing.
Where is that coming from?
Oh, yeah. I am a perfectionist. Oh, that's not difficult. My father was good at everything.
Oh. Oh. Okay.
Ah, daddy issues, huh?
So yeah.
Okay.
At least that's how it seems, right? That's the thing.
Yeah, obviously, because you don't know.
Yeah.
As a kid.
Yeah, and that's like that fear of judgment. Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. But then it's even more interesting that during the interaction part, during the Q&A, you feel super relaxed. And earlier you mentioned that you feel entering the social circumstances, it's still anxious for you. But during conference, when people are starting, and that's like really the unknown portion of the conference, which people are just like firing off questions at you that you don't know. You mentioned also at your consulting that you're not feeling under pressure if you don't know the answer to everything. So I'm like, I'm trying to understand. Like, how?
Yeah, well, in the Q&A, they made the step to ask the question. I didn't have to go to them and to start speaking to them. So they just started speaking to me, which is the most easy part.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just have to reply.
Mm. Oh, so then,
so they showed interest in me.
Well, so then the tip from Rolf really is then applicable. It's like people came for you, right? So only in the presentation part. Yeah. Okay.
Cool. Yep.
So recently, someone shared a tweet with me that said, "Public speaking is networking for introverts." And it is exactly that. So you do your public speaking and you don't have to put any energy in networking because it just happens.
Yeah. Because the people will come to you asking questions after the talk as well. Yeah, yeah. And when you have like these discussions with or like these dinners with the other speakers of conferences, do they share the same experiences as you in terms of, I mean, we all already mentioned Martin Fowler, of course, but are there?
I only know of Martin Fowler.
Okay.
But usually I don't hear that from speakers.
Yeah, I guess it's not also.
And that was a bit, my point of writing that article was like, I wanted to show that, well, although maybe people would think I'm doing that fantastic. Well, I don't think they think that, but it asks quite a lot from me.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. I know someone else. A woman. That has a bit the same relation to public speaking,
right,
as myself.
Yeah. But it's not as common as.
I don't know. It's not something that is openly shared,
right.
Often. And I wanted to a bit break that.
Yeah. Exactly. That's why we're also doing this podcast, of course. Because, Arno, you also share a bit of anxiety, right? And you have a talk coming up in January somewhere. Yeah.
Voluntary, so, for the YouTubers or for the Spotify people, I'm doing quotes.
Yeah, we did an election and you did not object. So we sociocracy.
And you nominated yourself. So it was a pure sociocratic election.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
By peer pressure a little bit, you know that.
Yeah. But Thierry, so do you think it's good that that Arno puts himself out of the comfort zone and does this, or would you advise him to just
stay at home?
Well, if it is Arno's choice, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
If it isn't his choice, it's not a good thing.
But he does face a little bit of a conundrum, right? Because the topic that you want to talk about is not super related to the meetup.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it is related, but not 100%, I guess.
I got the sense that they thought they wanted to shift it a little bit.
Right, because we think it's definitely a good fit.
Yeah.
But it's at least a topic that you can speak passionate about and at least, you know, have a lot of knowledge on. So it would make it easier for you to do it, right?
I hope so, because I thought about it. And the real story is, I don't know if it's going to fit it exactly. So it's going to be interesting.
Okay. But because I wanted to ask Thierry, like, did you ever adopt your talks to fit the theme of the conference a bit better, or did you always say this is the presentation, this is what I want to talk about, and it's going to be like this?
I've never adapted a talk to the theme of a conference. It's like
well,
this is the proposal, this is the content, and is this okay for you?
Yeah, take it or leave it.
But I never written a proposal. It was just there.
Well, it's a verbal proposal, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you have any tips for Arno, maybe, other than prepare? Like any...
Yeah. Prepare is the best thing, I would say.
Yeah.
Well, I know speakers that can start a presentation like with 10 index cards in their hands and they start talking.
Yeah.
It can work for some people and doesn't work for me.
No.
But it's essentially about knowing the story that you want to tell, not necessarily about the slides. The slides should be just a tool that maybe gives another dimension to the story, but it's more...
Yeah.
Like, look, now we're having a discussion. There is no slides. There is nothing happening. With nothing to guide this discussion, but we're having like an ongoing discussion, and essentially you're having a discussion maybe with yourself while you're at a stage. You just how passionate you are about the topic that you want to talk about.
So with regard to the slides, I always try to keep them super minimalistic, so that people don't start reading them and then they don't need to listen to me.
Yeah. And I was wondering, and it might not be super related to the presentations in itself, but on your website it said that you are or have been a freelancer. And then you have to do like your own marketing, right? You have to sell yourself. Isn't that also something that is very stress-inducing and fear? Yeah, makes you fearful. Like, oh, you know, I have to, you know, talk to this company and sell myself, or is it not like that at all?
Well, I've never done a lot of marketing, and so it's 14 years that I'm a freelance. In the beginning, I did zero marketing, and then
but you have to suddenly, like, you have to come to a company, right, and have like this intake and stuff like that. But
I love doing that.
It's, okay, interesting.
Yeah, interesting indeed.
because how is that different from other than, I guess, the amount of people in the room? Is that the tipping point? Like, oh, you know, instead of sitting across a table of two or three people, now I have a room of people.
I'm quite comfortable about the knowledge I have. I'm pretty sure I can answer the questions they fire to me. And again, I didn't need it to get in touch with them. They got in touch with me.
Right. So, yeah.
Okay. So if we invite you to do a presentation somewhere, it would be okay.
I'm super flattered, and I'm invited. It's
all right,
but it doesn't reduce the anxiety.
It doesn't reduce the anxiety, but I'm very flattered.
Interesting.
And so now you're completely stopped doing conferences, or you're taking a break, or what's your current status?
So current status is like, I think, yeah, during a year and a half, I haven't done presentations anymore. And then I was asked, well, except now and then there is a meetup that contacts me, and then I do it. It's community work. But I didn't propose, and now I've just started proposing again.
Okay.
In the hope that conferences will be in person.
Yeah.
If they are not, I guess I would cancel my my participation.
Yeah. Right. So you're still stepping in the arena, still gonna do it. Yeah. Regardless of that.
I miss the attention.
Look at that.
Yeah.
It's been that. Yeah. It's
pain and pleasure. Okay.
Can't live with it. Can't live without it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a battle.
It's good.
So Punch it. How is it for you, Punch it? Did you ever do like conference talks?
No, I've done meetup talks.
I wouldn't know.
About 50 to 100 people.
But you seem to be super comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that I'm not anxious. If it's a topic that I really like and enjoy, then it goes a lot easier. And then I think it's about whatever it depends thereon. But like I said, if I know, for instance, if I have to have a conversation on the phone and it might be difficult, like I have these moments like, okay, I need to think this through. And I have this anxiety. And then what I've noticed last year somewhere, I was really, I had a period where I was practicing a lot of like these breathing exercises. So that's why I mentioned it earlier to Thierry. And I know if I do like a half an hour breathing session in the morning, then like my whole day after that is like really calm. Let's say, even if it's a stressful day, I can keep my composure and I can easily think on the spot, quick think also, and find the words to. So I still do that if I know that, okay, ahead of me, I'm going to have a busy day. It's a tough day. In the morning, it will take like half an hour and do this like breathing exercise, like the Wim Hof, for instance, is doing. And that has helped.
Is it like meditation? Is it like a meditation or different?
It's not really. It's mostly like the pattern, the exercise that he does is you take 30 deep breaths and exhale like rapidly. And then you exhale the last, you exhale and you hold your breath for as much as you can. And then it's like you do that to, and then you hold your breath for like, I don't know, as much as you can, like 1 minute, 2 minutes, yeah. 3 minutes, whatever. And then you you inhale and then you repeat this like three times, and it releases an unbelievable amount of relaxation, at least in me. After that, I feel like wow, I can take on the world.
Is there a specific breathing technique that you? Because I can imagine you cannot. Like you have to do it in a specific way, right? Like really breathe from your midsection rather than your chest,
so
and all this kind of stuff.
So the breathing is you breathe with your diaphragm. So you first you feel in your stomach, then you feel in your chest, and like basically like you're feeling your whole body through your brain, and then you exhale.
Yeah.
Like, and that is the motion, and then you count that, you repeat it. Then you, the last time you exhale and you hold your breath, and it's unbelievable because like you think you cannot if you exhale now. You think like, oh, I cannot hold it. But because you have oxygenated your blood before that so heavily, like it's easy to hold your breath for a very long, like not having, you don't feel like the need to breathe. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So
I want to ask Rolf actually the question he asked you, because you did a few public speakings as well last year on Axon Online. And one time you stepped on the stage at the Axon conference itself. At least that's what I know. And apparently you have a polar bear experience.
Yep.
So did you experience anxiety? Because I think you always see the same thing, you know, like, easy, I'm going to do this and it's going to be fine and then to get it over with.
Well, of course, there's a bit of anxiety. It's like not fear or anything, but more like, you know, I hope it goes well. Like, of course, there's this little, like you have these butterflies in your stomach, right? So there is some nerves, but usually when, you know, once you speak the first two words, then it just goes away. And, I just try to find eye contact with a few people. And that really helps, because if I just look to like a sea of heads, then, of course, I think you'd have to be a psychopath not to get a bit anxious. Yeah, because like I think even great artists that like sell out the Ziggo Dome, I think also they still get nervous before a big show. I think it's human to be put in a situation like that and to get anxious. So I just have ways, I guess, to kind of calm myself and to look composed. So and I also always think like, what's the worst that could happen? Like the worst that could happen is like they think that I gave the wrong answer, or I'm not as smart as I would hope to have come across. But, I always think, like, I'm never going to see these people ever again in my life. So whatever. So, maybe not the organization or some of the speakers, but like the crowd. Yeah. Like I'm probably never going to see them again. So, what's the worst that could happen?
How has, for you, Rolf, both Arna and I mentioned like our experience with the podcast, but you've been, let's say, our most
stable factor
in it. Like,
Man.
How have you experienced your journey through the podcast?
Pretty good, actually. It does, I must admit that, finding the guests and stuff is, to me, a bigger barrier than to actually do the podcast itself, right? Like when we have a guest and I usually prepare a little bit, it's not a big deal, but there is some sort of threshold for me to actually like send an email to other people, say like, hey, we have this podcast. Do you want to be a guest? So, and I don't know what it is that like, if I feel that it's not good enough, or if I feel like, this person might not be a good match, I don't know, but it's just like, that to me is more challenging and more scary than to actually do the podcast itself.
So did it change for you? Because in the start, were you nervous in the start? Like when we did the first?
Of course.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, no, now I'm not nervous at all. No, not one bit.
All right.
Which, look at you.
Yeah. Depends on the guest, right? Depends on the guest. Oh. But most of the time, I'm not nervous. I was a bit nervous about the Alfie Cohn one because, you know, he was on Oprah and everything. So
famous.
Well, I don't know if he's famous, but I don't know. It's just, yeah, kind of feels a bit different. And for our first guest, like Patrick was our first guest, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually was a bit nervous when we had the first guest. Like, okay, now we have this, you know, external guy. So,
yeah.
Because like when you do it with your colleagues, you can always say like, yeah, this episode sucked. Let's just delete it and make something new. But like when you have a guest, then yeah, it's going to be a different thing.
I don't know. When I was the last one with Dave Snowden, I thought it was a bit, I was a bit nervous as well. Because even to follow the guy, it's like, oh, I have to process so much information. And then I'm like, oh boy.
Yeah, it's true.
Hey, he's super clever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that he made me nervous for sure.
Yeah. All right. So, Thierry, how do you feel now? Do you still feel anxious?
Yeah, no, I'm super comfortable.
Okay.
Look at that.
Yeah, because I think we're getting at the close of the episode. I don't know if you have any questions left for us, or if you guys have any questions left for Thierry.
Not from me. I enjoyed the talk, and
yeah. And this just made me more nervous about my upcoming talk. So no, I'm
yeah, not. But you,
it's gonna be okay.
Yeah, but you see what it can bring, right?
Yeah.
It's very,
But he did more than one, eh? So that would mean that I have to do it a lot.
Yeah, but we're going to submit your talk to a couple of the conferences.
Yeah, so the trick was apply in parallel to two. So
didn't we apply Sylvester to like Java 1 and stuff like that?
Yeah.
But I guess we got declined at most of them.
No. Actually, then I got him a few talks, but then and then COVID hit. And then everything was cancelled.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you would have had a lot of talks.
Yeah. So, well, now it's starting up again, right? So maybe we should submit a couple of talks.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, Thierry, thank you very much for being, open and honest about, what it is that's making you anxious about public speaking. I think a lot of people can relate to it. Even if they show it or not, I think everyone is nervous. So it's good to see that you're, still getting on that horse. And I'm glad to see that it's bringing you good things. So, thank you very much for being here.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It was my pleasure.
All right. So Arno, Pancha, thank you guys as well.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you all. It's been nice. And Arno, good luck preparing for your public talk, man.
Yeah, I will do that.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, put the pressure on now.
Yeah. I want to thank the listener as well, of course, for tuning in. If you guys have any cool stories about speaking in public or being anxious about these kind of things, then feel free to let us know. You can reach us on Twitter at Four Scouts or podcast@fourscouts.nl. Thierry's website is thinkinglabs.io. We'll put a link in the description there. You can see all of Thierry's talks. Well, a lot of them are on that website in terms of like YouTube videos and stuff, right, Thierry?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So you can check it out. So for now, thank you very much and see you guys next time. Bye-bye.